Okay, so we're on Daf Lamanchet today. So I'll begin on 38A, the third medium wide line, the third very wide line. Okay, in the Mishnah, everybody ready? So the Manitim, the Eidl Ignais, the Mishnah says the following, you know, in families or individuals were mentioned in a disparaging way by the Chachamim. The previous Mishnah mentioned people who were praised. Now it's mentioning people who are, you know, disparaged. Eidl Ignais, Shalpei Garmu, they knew like the secret for cooking the lechem upon him, the showbread, and they didn't want to share it with anybody. He says, they knew how to make the ketoret, the incense, so they didn't want to share that with people. Hogras ben Levi, Hogras ben Levi, Hogras, his name was not Hogras ben Levi, his name was Hogras, but he was a Levi. Hogras ben Levi, Hayodea Perak Bashir, he knew a certain way of singing, which was very beautiful. We'll discuss in the Gemara, and he didn't want to share the Lora Salameid, he didn't want to share that with anybody. Then Kamsar, Lora Salameid, Amasya Kav. Then Kamsar knew a way, of writing, which the Gemara will describe, and he didn't want to share that with people. The people mentioned in the earlier Mishnah who had done wonderful things for the Beis HaMikdash. Like we said about Munbaz HaMelech had made golden handles, we said, and we said Ben Katin made the spouse for the Kior, and he made the Mukhni for the Kior. Those people, they're praised. And concerning them, it says, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, like the Tzadik is mentioned blessing. Concerning these, it says, the name of the Rishon of the wicked people should rot. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah we just did? Everybody good?
That's very harsh.
Okay, hang tight and we'll see what's going on. Okay, Fern, I wish you'd have shown up here. I thought you were gonna come today, Fern.
Anyway. I can't get there at that time.
Okay. Anyway, let's keep moving. Okay, now on the fifth wide line. So the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan, Begarmu Yubikin Bamasilecha upon him. So Begarmu, they were experts in Masi Lechem Panim. They're experts in how to bake the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread. And again, if you remember, we learned in Masech Menachot, but the Lechem HaPanim was either shaped like a boat or shaped like an open box. But it's not so simple to cook, in the words, to bake that thing. So Lo Ratzu Lameid, they didn't want to teach their knowledge. Shalku Chachamim Beviu Manim Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. So the Chachamim sent and brought craftsmen or experts from Alexandria, and they knew how to bake just as well as Beit Garmu knew how to bake, but they didn't know how to remove the bread from the oven like Beit Garmu did. The people from Alexandria. The way they would do it, they would. In other words, it's so difficult to remove the bread from the walls of the oven. And again, like the bread is like this you know delicate object. So Beit Garmu knew how to do it. They would cook the bread and it would be in the oven, and then they would peel it off the walls of the oven. They were good. But the people in Alexandria, they would heat it on the outside. It's not 100% clear what it's being heating on the outside. It could be that the bread was on top of the oven. Or the article said that there was a mold and they would have the bread would put in the mold, but they would heat the mold up outside and bake it that way. The Alexandrians did everything on the outside. They heated up outside and baked it outside the oven. Whereas Beit Garmu would heat the oven on the inside and cook the bread inside the oven. Halalu pitan mitapeshet. So the Alexandrian people, the bread would rot, it would spoil. But the way that Beit Garmu did it, it didn't spoil. Now the Gemara, you remember, mentioned earlier, we said one of the nisim was that the bread was fresh, the way it was placed in the oven, the way it remained fresh. So, but here the Gemara is saying it spoiled. So it could be one shot is that it was fresh only during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. Time of the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't fresh. Or the other shot you could say is that whatever you need to do, you have to do. In other words, you don't want to push a situation where something has to be miraculous. Whatever you can do better, so it's not required to be a miracle or as little bit of a miracle as could be done, you want to do it that way. So the Gemara says, when the Chachamim heard that these people from Alexandria, they don't cut it the way Beit Garmu did, Amru, Everything that Hashem created in the world, he did for his own kavod. So the Meiri says it should be b'yachseru Beit Garmu l'mekoman, which fits in better. That the Chachamim said, we need to get Beit Garmu back. And it was like they were like apparently firing them and they didn't want to share the information. And they thought they'd get the other people from Alexandria to bake, but it just didn't cut it. So he said, we need to get Beit Garmu back on the job. Shalchu lehem Chachamim lo ba'u. So Chachamim sent them. They said, nah, we're not coming back. He says, tafu lehem skaran u'ba'u. And they doubled their salary and they came back. That has a, you know, kind of an influencing method. So he says, every day they would get 12 mana. Mana is 100 zuz. So they would get 1,200 zuz by Yom Eshrim Yarba'an. And they doubled it to 24. Now, the Rashash says that this number is so humongous, it doesn't seem like this would be a daily wage. Like a person's expenses for a year would be like 2 mana. And here they're getting, it said they were getting 12, and now it's 24. So he figures it's a yearly wage. That's what he figures for a yearly wage, but still doing very well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, before Yom Eshrim B'Arba'a, Rabbi Yehuda says every day that we get 24, by Yom Arba'im Ushmona. Amru lehem chachamim ar-re'item shalameh. So Chachamim said to Beit Garmu, how come you don't want to teach anybody your trade and craft? Amru lehem, now, I mean, the negative way to look at it is they don't want to teach anybody because this is a whole parnassah. They don't want to share it. But they had a svar why they didn't want to share it. So Amru lahem, so the Beit Garmu said, Yodima Yushabei Rabba Shabayet Zatib Lecharei. We have a besora that this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Shema Yomor Adam She'enu Mehugan. We're afraid if we share this knowledge, so somebody who, you know, is not an heir l'chamensh, not an upstanding person will learn it. They'll end up, obviously, there's no more jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So he'll go to Avodah Zarah. He'll sell his trade and skills to the Avodah Zarah. So that's what Beit Garmu was saying. That was their taina. So the Chachamim were critical of Beit Garmu. They thought that they should share the information. But the people of Beit Garmu said, we don't want to share the information because we think it's going to lead to more of a Chilul Hashem. So now, the Al-Dabar Zeh Maskir Notan L'Shevach, but for the following, the Chachamim did praise Beit Garmu. Me'olam lo nimseh patnikiyah b'yad b'neyem, shlo yomru mimas lech panim zeni zonim. That there was never like a fine bread in their children's hands. In other words, people shouldn't say, they're living off the lechem panim. In other words, they're, you know, taking lechem panim and eating lunch with it. So we don't have fine bread in the house. But kayem ashenemar v'temnikim me'ashem Yisrael. Fill the pasuk says you'll be nikiyim, you'll be like, you know, innocent in God's eyes and also in other people's eyes. And we've had this before. There's a mitzvah not only to be innocent in God's eyes, but to comport yourself in a way that people don't suspect you that you're doing wrong. So they said, you know, in our own home, we're not having any like nice bread. Nobody should think that we're taking lechem apanim or doing anything, you know, or using our skills here with our regular bread. We just use it for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so let me just summarize what we did and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the Gemara mentioned, and nice to have you with us, Yosef. So the Gemara mentioned that the previous Mishnah mentioned there were people that come in praise, that did wonderful things. Like the Gemara said that Ben Katan, he made a mukum for the kior, he made the this pulley system for the laver, and he made 12 spouts for the kior. And then we said that Munbaz HaMelech made golden handles for the Kalim. So those the Chachamim praised. Wonderful. Yash Koach. Then this Mishnah mentions people the Chachamim didn't praise. They thought they weren't doing the right thing. So the first group of people that we're discussing is Beit Garmu. Beit Garmu were the bakers in the Beis HaMikdash. They knew like the secret cooking method for the Lechem HaPanim. And they had basically a monopoly because nobody else could do it. And the Chachamim were critical of them that they didn't want to share their knowledge. But they tied it that they have a good reason not to share their knowledge. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm moving on. All right? All right, let's see further. All right, let's take a look. So we're around 20 lines from the bottom at the two dots on Lamed Chet Aleph, 38A. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Now the next group is Beit Avtinas. So Tana Rabbanan Beit Avtinas, who became Vasei HaKtoret. Beit Avtinas, they were experts in compounding the Ketoret. And remember in Chumash, it listed a whole set of ingredients for the Ketoret, and they were expert on it. They didn't want to teach anybody how to compound the Ketoret. So Chamim sent, they brought experts from Alexandria. Alexandria was, you know, it seems like the, you know, I don't know, the, like the center maybe of learning in the world. And like I was listening, Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying there was a big Jewish community in Alexandria. So, but it was, anyway, so they sent it from Alexandria. But Yodim Fatim Motam, they knew how to compound it like the Beit Avtinas. But they didn't know how to get the smoke to go up the way it was when Beit Avtinas prepared the Torah. The smoke from the Torah went up like a stick, like a single column. He says, but the imitators or the people from Alexandria, it was like smoke was like, you know, billowing all over the place. When Chaim heard about this, they said, whatever Hashem created, he did for his kavod. Everything that God has created is for his benefit. So here the Gemara quotes a different pasuk than it quoted earlier. And if you look in the Tosos Yishanim, it's in my Gemara, it's around 5 lines to the bottom in Tosos Yishanim. Shinemar kol hashem lemaneu. In other words, the first pasuk he's quoting, like if lechem panim is like rotting, it's not kavod for a kadosh baruch hu. So he says that's a big gnai. Here, the fact that it doesn't go up like in a single column, it's not such a terrible thing, but it's not the greatest. So the first time he quotes the pasuk, "Kulanik rabishmi b'lechodi b'rativ," everything I've created for my kavod. Here, it's like not as explicit. In other words, "Kol pa'al Hashem l'manei," everything is for God's sake. Anyway, because who beit avtinas l'm koman? So beit avtinas. So now again, the Meiri says it should be v'yachsru beit avtinas l'm koman. So we're saying, so Beit Avtinas needs to come back to their old job. So Shapulahem Chachamim, the Chachamim summoned them, below Bao, they didn't come back. So Kafulahem Scharan, they did the same thing that they did earlier with Beit Garmu, they doubled their salary, and then they showed up. So just like before, their earlier salary was 12 mana, which would be 1,200 zuz. And again, so the Rosh Hashanah says it's, you know, most likely a yearly salary, not a daily salary. But Yom Esrim Yarba, and then he doubled it to 24. But Yom Esrim before Yom Esrim Yarba, but Yom Arba Meshwana. Rabbi Yehuda says that every day was 24, now it was 48. So Mulahem Chachamim, Mara Itim Shalalamit. Chachamim said, how come you don't want to share this knowledge of how to compound the Ketoret? So Amru, they said, Yodimma Yushabed Abba Shabbazat Sibacharev, that we have a Mesorah from our forebears that this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So Amru, Shemang Yomora Dam Shein Muhugan, we're afraid, similar to Beit Garmu, we're afraid that somebody who's not so scrupulous will learn how to compound the Torah. He won't have a base of Mikdash just to parlay his trade and craft, so he'll go to a Vodazar and he'll parlay it over there. The Chamim were critical. The Chamim felt they should share the information. So, but then the Gemara says, Yaldavar is the Maskirimat on the Sheva. But the following, they felt this part they felt was good. Like a kala means like the bride never left their house, like the, you know, with perfumed up. He says, and when they would marry a woman from another location, they stipulated with her that she shouldn't, you know, put perfume on. The kala didn't leave their house means like one of their girls, you know, who got married, didn't leave and she was mufusam. And then their men would marry women from other places, but they weren't perfumed up either. So they shouldn't say it was from the Ketoret that they did this, so that they kept separate. Just to fulfill the pasuk, like we said earlier, that you should be, you know, guiltless, you know, innocent in God's eyes and in people's eyes. And there was not enough that the Ribono Shel Olam knows you didn't do anything. Nobody should suspect you of doing anything wrong. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far? What's up? Yeah, we'll see in the Gemara, but it sounds like that they did not think that that was an adequate rationale, and that they thought that it could be they didn't believe that they were sincere in what they were saying. That could be, but we'll see the Gemara later on, and I think we'll shed some light on that. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, now, okay, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Pamachar, Hayiti Mahalek Baderas. Rabbi Shmuel says, once I was traveling on the way, and I encountered one of their descendants from Beit Avtinas. Says, your forebears, this is after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, your forebears, you know, by not sharing this information, wanted to increase their kavod. In other words, we're the only ones who know how to make the Torah. He says, and they wanted to like belittle the quote of Hashem. In other words, like, since we're the only ones who could do it, so Achshav for Makom Makomo. Now the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, but the quote of Hashem is in its place. The quote of Hashem is in Talui with the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem's quote is in its place. For me, a quote, and now they're out of work. So I'm Rabbi Akiva. Sakli Rabbi Shmuel ben Loga. So Rabbi Akiva says that Rabbi Shmuel ben Loga said to me, "Tamachat Yatzati Ani VeEchad MiBnei Bneiam LeSadel LaKir Asabim." That once I and one of their descendants from Beit Avtinas went out to the field to collect different herbs. Ra'iti, I saw, and here he corrects the on the side, Ra'iti Shabachabasakak. I saw that he cried and laughed. Amar Shalom named Babachita. I said, why did you cry? Amarli, Kvoda Botain is Karti. He says, I remembered, you know, what my forebears, you know, how much Kabo they had, that they were the ones who compounded the Torah. And excuse me, he says, and they don't have that. They don't have that. He says, "Mnei Sakat, why did you laugh?" Amar li shatik tzvarch lachzirlanu. He says, in the future, Hashem is going to restore it to us. Mnei man is karta. What caused you to think about this? So he says, "Amar li malei ashan kenegdi." There's an herb known as malei ashan, which was added to the Torah that helped the smoke go up. Just 1 minute. He says, and I saw it. So he says, Hareli, show it to me. I want to know what this ingredient is. Amarli, shuhi biyadenu, like we have a shu. She'ein mar no tolopoladam. We don't show that to anybody. So the one question is, like, they had, when they brought the people from Alexandria to compound the Torah, so the smoke didn't go up like a makel, because they didn't have that herb that Beit Avtinas had. But so one question is, like with the Torah, you have to have, well, please turn it off. Okay, with the Torah, you have to have all the ingredients of the Torah. So how could they even have had, like, Torah, you know, sort of like a substitute Torah, if they didn't have this Malei Ashan? So I heard Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying, the Beis Yosef says that Malei Ashan is like an additional ingredient. In other words, the ingredients listed in the Torah, those are required. The Malei Ashan is like an add-on. So you don't have to Malei Ashan, but another pshat is that like Malei Ashan could be like a generic name for like a whole area of herbs, and they knew one herb within that group that was very good, and the other ones didn't know like the herb that was quite so good. But that's the basic idea. Let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause. Okay, so let's take a look back at the Gemara. Amar Yochanan ben Nuri, Hamachat Matzati Zaken Echad. Yochanan ben Nuri says, once I encountered an older gentleman, he had a Megillah, like a scroll, that listed all the Samimanim, all the ingredients for the Torah. Amartilo me'ayinatoy. It means, I asked him, what family are you from? So Amarli Beit Avtinas. He says, I'm from Beit Avtinas. I'm from the Mishpacha that would make the Torah. Umabiyatcha, what are you holding in your hand? He said to him, Amarli Megillah Samimanim. I'm holding, these are the ingredients for the Torah. He says, Hareli, show it to me. Amarli, as long as my father's household, they were alive, everything was going good, we never gave this to anybody. This was like a family secret. But now, I don't know if he was the last one or whatever he was doing, now I'm going to give this to you. he says, he's a herba, and be careful with it. In other words, like, don't share it with everybody. And then when I came and I mentioned this to Rabbi Akiva, Amarli, Rabbi Akiva said to me, and this relates to what you were asking about, Yosef, Miatas was a pair of non shel elu. In other words, now we seem that, in other words, that they were sincere. In other words, that they did have their concerns, but now that he has nobody to share with, he's giving it to the Chachamim. And so now apparently, you know, Rabbi Akiva is saying, we see that they're sincere. We'll see in a minute. He says, Mikanamar, and I'll pause, I'll come back in a minute. Mikanamar ben Azai, and this is a famous line of the Gemara. I just remember these lines from the Gemara. You're in good shape. Mikanamar ben Azai, the people will call you by name and put you in your place. Meaning, when they tried to fire Beit Garmu, they tried to fire Beit Avtinas, they ended up calling them back. So it means, like, in Shemayim, there's a Gezerah. If in Shemayim, there's a Gezerah that you should have a certain job, it will work out that you'll get that job back and they'll call you back for it. On the top line on other days, he says, Umi Shalcha Yitnulach. When there was, what they're giving to you is not a matana. That was yours. It was there in Shemayim. Nobody is able to invade that which has been set aside for his chaver. One malchut, one kingdom, is not able to, like, impinge on another malchut. Even like a hair's breadth. Meaning, like, there's a zera in Shemayim that if you look at Rashi says on the second white line on top, when the time for one kingdom is to fall or to be destroyed, the tamod acheret lo yacher zman kolonim. In other words, if that's the time that's been decreed, that's time that's been decreed. Let me just run the pole belayla, no pole belayla. It was tonight, and that's the way that goes. Now, the thing with the, like you're saying, that you can't say b'gnutan. So one way you could say is that. The question is he totally choser on what they were saying about Beit Avtinas, or is it just like partially defense of Beit Avtinas? So you could say the Chachamim were critical of them, but now they saw like some zikus for them. But okay, well, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? What's up, Robert? Ketoret. No, that's what I'm saying. So you have to have those ingredients. But here's up too. Okay, I heard the question. Here's up too. Is an ingredient male ashan? Is an herb that they would use for this male ashan? Only they knew which herb that was. So that was part of the secret that they held. That this herb causes the smoke to go up like a makel, So again, this relates to what we said from the Beis Yosef. So the way the Beis Yosef is saying the Balei Ashan is not one of the things, the ingredients listed in the Torah, but there would be added on. In other words, that's like an add on to make it go up in a single column. That's the way the Beis Yosef learns. Just one second. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. All right. What's up, Aaron Moshe?
No, I was just going to say it's an add on to make it go up in one column. So something that's needed to the
So
both of these families, apparently the Rabbi Shlomo wanted these families to do the showbread and to do the katayim.
Right.
The fact that they got double the money because they sent them away first.
All right. Okay. Any other questions? We'll say again what?
It's
sort of like, in other words, like people do nasty things in life. That's the thing. So are you what you're doing, is that al pi halacha? That's one question. But the Gemara is saying that, like, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to, like, see to it. In other words, you say, like, they're wrongdoers, bad actors in life. But the Gemara is saying that ultimately a Kaddish Baruch will give you that which you deserve. That's all I can say with that. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. In other words, you would say the Sal. In other words, in Shemayim there might have been a decree that somebody is going to try to invade your gavul. You know what I mean? So Alpia Lafi, you have rights, but that was also Nixar and Shemayim. Okay, so the third line, Hukras ben Levi, we said Hukras ben Levi knew a certain way to sing or something with the music, and he didn't want to share it with people. So Tanya, Shuno Tein Kolo, Bneima, when he would be singing, he was a Levi. When he would be singing, Machnis God Lo Latokpiv, he would stick his thumb in his mouth, Umeniach Etzba'o Bein Hanimin, and he would stick his index finger, Bein HaNimin is between like the sides of the mustache, or it could be, Nimin is like a, it could be like a hair or a thread, or it could be like the strings of a harp or a lyre. In other words, he might have been playing a musical instrument. Whatever it was, he was able to have such a beautiful song. Whatever he did, the sound sounded so beautiful that the Kohanim would hear this and they would be knocked over their heels like from the sound. Okay, Tan Rabbanan Ben Kamsar Lo Ratzal Lamed Maaseh Tav. Now Ben Kamsar didn't want to teach about the Tav. Now I should have maybe done this in the Mishnah. If you turn back to the Mishnah, turn back on Lamed Chen with Aleph into the Mishnah on the right hand column. Let's look at the Rashi. So on Lamed 38a, okay, this is four lines from the bottom. Maaseh Tav. Kosher arba akumusim arba etzvotav. He would tie, the way Rashi learns, four kumusim, four quills on his four fingers. The kotev shem ben arba otio ke'echad. He would write the shem ha'maforash simultaneously. And for reasons we'll see in a few minutes, hopefully, that's more preferable than to write it, you know, yud ke vav ke, but to write it simultaneously. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Tan Rabbanan ben Kamsar lo resalam min ha'maseh tav. Amru alav she'notel arba akumusim ben esvotav. He would take the four quills between his fingers. My tateva shall arba otiot. If there was a word with four letters, he'd kotva b'vat achad. He would write it simultaneously. So amru lo mara ita shlo lamed. He says, why aren't you teaching? You know, why don't you want to share the information? So he says, kulan matzu tshuva l'debrayim. So the previous groups all had a tshuva. The previous groups all had the explanation that we're afraid the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and this person who has this knowledge will go blah 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 blah. And the Gemara, and I saw in the Sifta Gemara, they said that that Hukas ben Levi would have said the same thing, but they didn't try to, you know, fire him, so they didn't bring it up in the Gemara. So he says Ben Kamsar was such tshuva l'dvarav. Ben Kamsar didn't have any answer why he didn't want to share the information. Al Rishonim Nemar Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So concerning the Rishonim, the earlier ones, says Zecher Tzadik Levracha, but Al Ben Kamsar B'Chavirav Nemar B'Shem Rishem Yerkav, that the name of the wicked people should rot. Now, with this Brisa, it seems like the Brisa is saying Al Rishonim. This Brisa seems to be ascribing something positive to Beit Garmu, to Beit Aptinas, and Hogras Ben Levi. So either this Brisa is mechulak with the Mishnah, the Brisa could have a different opinion of the Mishnah. Or the Brisa could be explaining the Mishnah. The Brisa could be saying that when the Mishnah said Be'il Lignai, we thought it meant everybody that was listed. But in Achinami, it's just Ben Kamsar. Now, if Ben Kamsar, you know what? Let me do a little piece from the Aladah of Ben Kamsar, and we're on Lamed Chenam Beis. Lamed Chenam Beis around 10 lines from the top. Okay, let me just do a little bit with Ben Kamsar. All right. So, okay, so we did Rashi, said he had four quills between his fingers and would write the Shema Meforosh simultaneously. The Tosfos Yeshanim, signing a Brisa in Masech Sofrim, explains that when a Sofer writes the name of Hashem, he's forbidden to interrupt and talk in the middle. Thus, it was advantageous to write the entire name of Hashem at once to ensure the scribe does not talk while writing Hashem's name. That's the way the Tosfos Yeshanim takes it. Alternatively, the Minchas Chinuch explains that the first two letters of the four-letter Shem Hashem form the name Yud Kei. In other words, like Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Shem Hashem, four letters. The first two letters for the Shem Hashem, which is one of Hashem's names. If one writes the first two letters and adds the third letter, which is a Vav, it appears as though he's erased Hashem's name, because those three letters do not represent Hashem's name. In other words, I have Yud Kei, I have Shem Hashem. Then I add the Vav, now I have nothing. It's like Nishtahei, Nishtahei, we would say. He says, consequently explains the Minchas Chinuch, it was considered advantageous for a scribe to write the entire four-letter name simultaneously to avoid the problem of erasing the two-letter name of Hashem. The Pasuk in Shmot states, Vayas et Hatzitz, and is Vayechtivu Alav. they wrote the Shema Hashem on it, like Kodesh LaHashem. So in light of our Gemara, the Imre Emes explains the Pasuk's use of the plural, Bayichtavu, they wrote, instead of Bayichtov, he suggests that each of the four letters of Hashem's name on the tzitz was described by another person. And thus, this was done, so the entire name was written simultaneously, in accordance with our Gemara, which says that it is advantageous to write the entire name of Hashem at one time. Hence, the Pasuk uses the term, the plural term, Bayichtavu, since the name was described before different people. Okay, Yosef, you're still with us. Now, the Chuvas Masas Ben Yamin considers whether printed Sfarim contain the same degree of Kedusha as those that are handwritten. It was suggested that Sfarim, which are written letter by letter and word by word, contain more Kedusha than Sfarim, which are printed at an entire page at a time. The Masas Ben Yamin deduced proof from our Gemara that printing many letters and words at once does not diminish the Kedusha but safer. On the contrary, the Gemara says it is advantageous to write four letters at a time. And the Maritz Chayis, somebody must have said this before, because I remember from a previous Machzor, that I looked at the Maritz Chayis, though, before I came here. He says he thinks it was like some sort of like printing press that Ben Kamsar had. So he was like printing the Shem Hashem. And that was what he didn't want to share. Okay, I have 30 seconds for questions. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, good to see everybody.
On the printing thing, you're writing a Sefer Torah. Don't you have to have in Zinnin what you do? You have to have in Zinnin what you're doing. You have to have your head on the Sefer Torah, thinking about.
Yeah. Right.
So with the printing.
Yeah. So you're right. There's no a Sefer Torah cannot be printed. But let's say I have a Chumash, and let's say I handwrite the Chumash or I print the Chumash. So does a printed chumash have less kedusha than a handwritten chumash? That's the question. That's what I would say. Okay. All right. Now let's go back. What? Did you hear someone say that? Yeah. Okay. That, I think he's working with that Maritz Chayis that way. Okay. So Saul was saying he had like an endorsement, like a stamp that had that. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. Sal was quoting Rabbi Rosner. Okay, now. We're four lines above where it gets wide. Four lines above where it gets medium wide. Okay, my v'shem Rishim Yerkav, what does it mean the names of the wicked people should rot? Amar Blazar Rak Bivut Taleb Shmotam Lomaskina Bishmahu. In other words, like it should be like Rust rise the names. I mean, nobody should name their kids. You shouldn't name somebody after Russia. So if here they said Ben Kamsar, so I shouldn't name a child, Kamsar or something like that. So he says, in other words, like you leave it. If it's a rush, you don't name somebody that way. So Ma'atib Ravina, posed the following question. Ma'atib Doeg Ben Yosef, there was an incident with a child whose name was Doeg Ben Yosef. Kinichu Aviv Ben Katan Le'imo, that his father left him as a child in his mother's care. Every day the mother would measure him with like a fist of a hand, see how big he's growing. And she would give his weight in gold to the base of Mikdash. It's talking about during the time of the Korban Bayis Rishon, so she slaughtered him and she ate the child. So he says, and concerning her, Yirmiyahu and Navi says, if women eat their like offspring, in other words, like the child that was tipuchim can be cared for, but the drasha is it's like the child olal is a young child, tipuchim can be cared for, but it's like tefach. In other words, the child that was measured in with tefachim. So isn't this a horrible thing? The shiva ruach of kodesh will merit. And so Ruach HaKodesh responds and says, why? Is a Kohen and Navi killed in the Mikdash Hashem? And Rashi brings down about Zechariah, then Yehoyada HaKohen, who was killed in the base of Mikdash. So that's why these horrible things are happening. So, but the point being in the story that Doeg is a Rasha. Doeg was the one who was involved with killing Novi or Kohen in the time of Shaul HaMelech. And here we see that they named the child Doeg. We said, you don't name people after Rishoyim. So the Gemara says, Chazi Ma'isalik, they see what happened to him. It didn't end up well. So in Achinam, you don't name people after Rishoyim. Sometimes in Israel, there are people they name the kid Nimrod. And that's obviously not Alpi Mesorah. Every name that's in Chumash is not a Mesorah to name the child with that name. So, all right, let's see back in the Gemara.
Quick question.
Really quick. What's up?
Does that mean Yishmael was a tzaddik? Because we have Rabbi Yishmael. Is that the proof that Yishmael?
Yeah. So there could be, again, sometimes there's more than one Yishmael in Tanakh. So, I don't know if Rabbi Yishmael's name for Yishmael ben Abraham. There could be others Yishmaels in Tanakh. You have to look into that. I know that that's the part I would look into.
Well, who have they were named?
But if there's another Yishmael in Tanakh, he would be named after Yishmael ben Avram.
Yeah, so this I don't know what to say. But wait a second. Rabbi Sal's pointing at Rasha. Okay, wait. What does Rabbi Rasha say?
I thought.
Sal says that Rabbi Rasha says the name Yishmael was given by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says, V'karata Shmo Yishmael. But if he didn't turn out so good, it still wouldn't be so great. All right. So Robert was quoting Rabbi from Rabbi Steinsaltz that somehow that Yishmael had some zechus v'Abraham, even if he became a Rasha. So I don't know about the name Yishmael. If we, I want to make sure we finish the parak today, and they're really going to throw us out of this room because here's where Mincha is. So I'm going to keep moving, and if we have time at the end, I'll talk more about the names. Okay. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right. So we're on the fourth medium wide line. So Amr Blazar Tzadik Me'atzmo. It means like if you mention tzaddik, you mention him like you think of his zechuyos. A rasha, you think of all the other rishayim when you mention him. Tzaddik me'atzo dechiv zecher tzaddik lebracha. The memory of a tzaddik is a bracha. The singular yachid. Rasha mechaveiro dechiv shem rishim yirkav. In other words, I say, Yishmael was a terrible rasha, and his friend Doeg was a terrible rasha, and this is a rasha. Like you talk about other rishayim. So Amrli Ravina Luhumi Rabbanan, the Sadr Agadat Tamei, so Ravina said to one of the Tamim who was arranging a Agadat before him, Minaha Milta da Amr Rabbanan Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Where is this idea found? Where did the Chachamim get the idea that Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, that you mention a Tzadik, like you should say it's like for Bracha? Where does that come from? Amrli, that is Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. What do you mean where does it come from? This Pasuk. So he says, Midoraita Minalan. Where do we see in the Torah this idea? It was Zecher Tzadik Lebracha is from Mishlei, which is written by Shlomo Melech. Where do you see in the Torah? Dichtiv Hashem Amar Hamachasani Abraham Asher Ani Yoseh. That Ribono Shlom says, am I going to hide from Avram that which I'm going to do with Sodom and Amorah? And then, having mentioned Avram, Uchtiv Avram Ayo Yelgo Yadol Ba'atzom. Avram is going to be very great. He'll be a great nation. In other words, he gives a bracha. So you mentioned the Tzaddik, you mentioned a bracha. He says, Minah Milta the Amur Rabban and Shem Yerushim Yerkav. Then he said, from where do we know that which the Chum teach us that the names of the wicked should rot? He says, Amar Lei, Dak Kiva Shem Shem Yerkav. Again, it's also in the same place as the Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs. There's no Midoraita Minalan. Where do we know from the Torah this idea, the Shem Shem Yerkav? The Chiv means when you mention Rishayim, you mention like they should rot. The Chiv be a Halad Stone, that Lot, like encamp till Stone, Uchtiv, and then the Torah right away fills in. Mentioned the Rishayim, he mentions how horrible the Rishayim are. And they say that's like an exception for the Dinim of Lashon Hara. When somebody's really a Rasha, then it's appropriate to say he's a Rasha, so people know not to associate with this Rasha. Amr Blazar, Tzadik Dar Ben Shnei Rishayim, Lolaman Mimas Sehem. There was a Tzadik who lived among two Rishayim and he didn't learn from their deeds. Rasha Darbin Shnei Tzadikim Lolaman Misayim. And then conversely, there was one Rasha who lived among two Tzadikim and didn't learn from them. Tzadik Darbin Shnei Rishayim Lolaman Misayim. Who was the Tzadik that lived among two Rishayim and didn't learn from them? That's Ovadia. So Ovadia is, he was a servant for Ahav and Izevel. I think Chazal say he's the Nabi Ovadia, Chazon Ovadia. So he was a Tzadik, but Ahav and Izevel were like the prototypes of tremendous Rishayim. Both of them were tremendous Rishayim. He says, Rasha Darbein Shnei Tzadikim, a Rasha dwelt among two Tzadikim below the Madmi Masehem, say Esav. Esav means he was brought up by Yitzchak and Rivka, and he didn't learn from them. So I guess ultimately it's still possible to be, a Tzadik and not learn from the Rishayim, and a Rasha not learn from the Tzadikim. But in general, you do learn, and it does get absorbed. Okay, now, from the bracha of tzaddikim, you learn like a curse for the Rishayim, And from the curse of the Rishayim, you learn a bracha of the Tzaddikim. From the bracha of the Tzaddikim, you learn a kala of the Rishayim. The thief, he that he of the monastery, Begomer, he says, Hashem is talking about Avram Avinu. He says, I know how he is such an erech mensch, and he's going to, they're going to observe the Torah, they'll do tztaka and mishpat, and then, in other words, that leads to a klala for the Rishayim. In other words, the bracha of tzaddikim, I'm led to be mekal of the Rishayim. When we call tamshu Rishayim, until it means bracha of tzaddikim. Conversely, when you're mekal of Rishayim, you learn a bracha of tzaddikim. The tiv anshei sodom reim v'chatim l'Hashem. He says that the anshei sodom were evil. And then it says v'ashem amar l'abramach rei pardo mimo. Then Avram speaks to Hashem speaks to Avram after Lot separates him from him. And he says, look around, I'm going to give all this land to you. All right. But Amar Blazar, I feel b'shvil tzaddik echad olam nivra. Even for one tzaddik, the whole world is created for one tzaddik. Shenemar v'yar lokim in a or kitov. God saw the light. It was good. V'ain tov al tzaddik. Means tov is a tzaddik. Or is like this primeval light that existed that Hashem put away for the tzaddikim. And you have to say, like, that's the whole purpose of the world, to have this or, and there was this light that was created in Masei Bereishis, you see, from one end of the world to the other end of the world. But it means, like, that's, like, the ultimate creation, when Hashem creates for the tzaddikim. For Yar Elokim and or, he saw this or in Ki Tov, for the Tov. The Tov is for the tzaddik. Shenemar Imru Tzaddik Ki Tov. Ba'amar Blazar Kol Meshakeach Davar Mitamudo. Whoever causes something to be forgotten from his learning, during the little banav, causes exile for his sons. Shenemar, Batishkach Torah Elokecha, he says, you forgot the Torah of your God, Eshkach Banecha Gamani, I'm going to forget your sons. It means like they're going to go into Galus. Let me pause in 1 minute. Rabbi Balamar, Morido Tomi Gedula To. If you cause your learning to be forgotten, you're like taken down from your Gedula. Shenemar, Kiata, Hadat Ma'asta, he says, you despise like Das. Das is knowledge, but it means you despise the Torah. He says, now this Pasuk, one second. So this Pasuk is in Hosea. So he says, Ki ata hadat ma'asta ba'emascha mikahin li. And I despise you from being mekain, like for ministering to me. In other words, be a Kohen does not be a Kohen. If you're a teacher, you know, so I despise you for ministering to me. So whatever position you had, you know, you're out of your job. Okay. Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yochanan, in tzaddik niftar min ha'olam, ashenivrat tzaddik moto. A tzaddik doesn't die till another tzaddik has been created to sort of take his place. Shenemar v'zarach ha'shemesh v'vah ha'shamesh, that the sun will rise and the sun will set. So the sun will rise, he's taking it, that's a new tzaddik. The sun will set, that's the old tzaddik who's passing away. And he gives an example. Before the sun set on Eli, before Eli HaKohen died, so Shmuel was alive, and Shmuel was beginning his life. So Eli HaKohen was one of the Shoftim, but before he died, then Shmuel was already there. All right, let me just pause for 30 seconds, then we'll take some questions. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right, let's take a look.
About a tzaddik, are they talking about a lamed vavnik, or what's a tzaddik?
Yeah, so I don't know if he means like one lamed vav necessarily, and I don't know how to per se to define who is a tzaddik or not, if that's what you're asking. I don't know how to define the tzaddik. I have to look a little bit more expert on this.
Can you define the Rasha?
I don't know. I think doesn't the Gemara has in Brachot, doesn't the Gemara have that's an Amma Aretz. The Gemara has definitions of an Amma Aretz. So I don't know. Let me give it some thought. All right, now. It means you go out of your way to try to like forget it. You don't want to know from it. That's what it means. Like I don't want to look. I don't want to remember it. I just want to. That's the way I would say. You know, it's not just like you're learning whatever. Everybody forgets something. But I don't want.
I mean, it could be an Amoritz. You don't have to be a Rosh, though.
Right. I understand.
Right.
Okay. He's asking me though. How do you forget your learning? How do you cause your learning to be forgotten? So I think the Gemara. You're right. In other words, he doesn't want to know from the learning, but not just not continuing, but it sounds like he's like in some way, like he doesn't want to remember it. I don't know. All right. Let's keep moving. Okay, we're on the fourth white line on Lamed Chet and Amud Beis downstairs. So, Amar Kibar Abar B'Yochanan, Rakhadosh Baruch Hu Sikimu Atim, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that there are very few tzaddikim. Amar fell on B'Kol Dor V'Dor. He planted them in each generation. In other words, he saw that there's certain the shamas that are going to be tzaddikim, he planted them in the different generations. Shneimar, Hilashem and Tzuki Aretz, Hashem has the foundations of the world, but they take it, foundation is like these tzaddikim are the foundation. By Ashtalim Tevel, he planted the world on top of them. There was the foundation for the world. And so he's planting them in each generation. Even for one tzaddik, the world is sustained. Shinemar but Sadiq Yisod Olam. Tzadik is Yisod Olam. That's a famous Pasuk. But Sadiq Yisod Olam. Reb Chiya Didei Amar, Reb Chiya himself says, that was Reb Chiya Rabba quoting Reb Yochanan. Reb Chiya himself says, Amar Mehacha, Raglei Chasidav Yishmor, that Raglei Chasidav, it means before, in other words, because on account of his pious ones, he'll guard the world. Right? In other words, regal can mean different things, as the Gemara is going to say. So here he's saying, he says, with Yaakov and Lavan. So Lavan, I think, says to Yaakov, Hashem blessed me on your account. So Ragli can mean on the account. So Ragli Chasidav, on account of the Chasidim, Yishmor, he's going to guard the world. So the Gemara says, but Chasidav Tuva Mashma. We said the memory was that one tzaddik, the whole world is sustained. This is the pious ones, the plural ones. So Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak Chasidokti. The Ktiv is Chasido for his pious one. And we're going to darshan it the way it's written. So Amar B'chiyah Bar Abba, Amar B'Yochanan, Kivan Shetz Rosh Shotav Shal Adam, Lo Chata, once a person has lived most of his life and not sinned, Shuvei No Chote, he won't sin again. Shneimar Raglei Chasidav Yishmor. So he's the darshan word Raglei as the end. He says, Rashi says, Sofei Chasidav Yishmor. Like the Ritni says, he says, the Bei Rabbi Shiva Amri, Kiman Shaba Ali Ado Devar Avera Pamri Shon Roshniya Ve'enu Chotei, that once a person has a Devar Avera and he resists it once and twice and he doesn't sin, Shuvenu Chotei, here's another use of the word raglei. He says raglei can mean like times, like with Bilam, with the Aton. So the Aton says to Bilam, Lama zekitani zeshlosh regalim, why did you hit me three times? So raglei can mean a time. So he says, so raglei chasidav yishmor, that when his pious ones, if they're resisting aveira like two times, he'll guard them. Okay, Amar Shlakish, my dichtiv in leitzim who yalitz one of imitain saying, what does the pasuk mean? If for leitzim he'll scoff, but for the humble people he'll get braced. Balatame potchin lo. It means if a person wants to do treifus, he wants to go to pot with himself in terms of the Torah. So potchin lo, we give him the opportunity. He wants to be mechal Shabbos, live with the shiksa, eat treifus, fine. So he'll get the opportunity to do that. Balatame here messiah so but. If he wants to be mitayer, he wants to raise himself up, he'll get Ezra min Hashemayim, he'll get help min Hashemayim. So if he wants to do a Beirut, the opportunity will open for him. But he wants to do mitzvahs, you know, he wants to bring himself up, he'll get like help from Shemayim to go in that derech. Tanu de Rabbi Shmuel, a brayse was taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel, mashal idam shemoter nefta parsimo. It's like a person was selling neftis like from tar, from pitch, and it's like stinks. And a parsimon is like perfume. So he's like a stinky business and a fragrant business. So the top line, balam do neft, if a customer comes in and he wants to measure out for the purpose of buying some neft, He says, Omer lo medoda talastafas. So the seller says, you know what? You measure it out. I don't want to get involved with this shmuk. He says, Balam doda farsimon, if he wants to measure out the fragrant item, Omer lo hamtein li achem dodim tal. Let me measure it out with you. So both get filled with fragrance. So saying, like Kaddish Baruch Hu says, like if the person wants to do a Beirot, that's like the neft. So it's not fine. You want to do neft? You do neft. I'm not getting involved with you. You want to do a farsimon? So I want to be involved with it and we'll help you. Now, the Gemara says, Tana de Beirot Shmuel, a brisa was taught in the basement of Shmuel, a Veira mitamtem li bo shel adam, that a Veira blocks a person's heart. In other words, it means like each Aveira you do, you become more callous to Torah. In other words, like you're there's like a blockage, there's like a wall between you and Torah. As you do more Aveira, then you block and block and block. He says, Shenemar, lo titamu behem and itmei tembam. He says that you should not become tame, like spiritually defiled through them. He's talking about the non kosher animals. Please, somebody needs to silence themselves. Let me just take a look for a second. All right. So he says, lo titamu behem and itmei tembam. You shouldn't become defiled. Benitmei tem shuta shemikra. You'll become tame. But itmei tem is spelled without an aleph. Itmei tem is like from the shoresh tet mem aleph to become tame. It was don't become tame from them, then you'll become tame. Al tikrei benitmei tem. Don't read it like as it's benitmei tem, which is the way we do read it. Ella unitam tem. In other words, you'll become blocked off. In other words, like so that's the way you should read it. So Tana Rabbanan, lo blo titamu behem et meitem bam, atam tami atzmo ma'at, betamino to harbe. In other words, he's saying that the double lashon, lo titamu behem, don't become tame through these things, benet meitem bam, and then you'll become tame. So he means it sounds like a conundrum, you know, like riddle. What does it mean? Don't let him tell you become tami. So he's saying, Adam tami atzmo ma'at. If a person he does a little tuma, he says mitamino to harbe. It means it's avera gored avera. In other words, like the person thinks he's going in for the short haul. He's just doing a little bit of an avera. I'm just going to be the chalal shabbos a little bit. But then he'll get drawn in even more, and he'll do even more avera, avera gored avera. He says, if he does something down here, so then it has ramifications upstairs, you know. He says, in this world, so he's been telling for Olam Abba. So Tana Rabbanan, sanctifying yourselves and be holy. But a person, he does his part, so he says, Milamakta Mikachim Mala, he does it down here on earth, Makashim above. But Lamazem Mikachim Kolom above, they'll do for Olam above. Okay, let me do a few words in the next paragraph, then we'll say some other things about the names, and then we'll see some questions. So, I'll just say Hadron Lakamar Lamuna, and Tarapa Kalfi Velash Nango Rolo. So we're up to the lottery, and the Kohen is about to take the lottery, and he's going to give and take two lotteries. Okay, now let me take about the names. We spoke about before about the names. About not naming people after Rishon. Let's go back to that. So this is from the Aladaf. It's clear from our Gemara that we refrain from giving the name of a wicked person to a child, not only because we do not want to honor their memory, but because it poses danger to the child as well. In other words, let's say I name a child Esav. So A, I don't want to be Mechabed Esav, but I don't want my child to come out like Esav. There's an idea in the Gemara of Shema Garim, like your name, you become like the person that the name is. The Medrash Tanchuma writes, one should choose carefully the name they give their child so that he should be able to become a tzaddik. The moment the name is given to a child can have a positive or negative effects. Post to most of the dispute whether it's appropriate to name a child after someone who lived before Avram Avinu due to the fact that those people did not fulfill all the mitzvot. So there's a question of Lacha about taking any name in the Torah before Avram Avinu. So he says, according to Tosfos, and this Tosfos, the Tosfos is here, but it's also on Shabbos and Dafi Beis. According to Tosfos, who writes that one may make use of the name of someone wicked, if there was a righteous person who also had that name, we can be lenient and use the name Noah and Chanoch because there were righteous people after the time of Avraham Avinu who had those names. So that's what I was saying to you before. Along this line of reasoning, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, there's nothing degrading to give a name to a child that originally was a non-Jewish name if it was adopted over time as a Jewish name. I think in the Bali Tosfot, there's one of the rabbis called Peter Petter or something, I can't remember. I know, like with anyway, so sometimes a person could have a non-Jewish name, but it's used so much, like it's not such a bad thing. All right. Any other? What's up?
No, I was going to say I saw for the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer writes like we give names after people who've passed away by Ashkenazim. We give people we give names after grandparents and so on and so forth that passed away, whatever. He says that's okay, but he says that's Latoivis. That's the toivis, the person who was nifta, who's not here no more. But for the toivis, for the kin, he says it's good to give a name of the sedra that's going b'shas. He has the bris. If you're learning about Moshe Rabbeinu, if you give the name Moshe, it's the toivis, the toivis for the child.
All right. So I'm going to end the recording. One second. Let me just end this recording. One minute.